How are you?
Hey Alex, it's Michael from MMA Legal. Say you okay?
Hi Michael. I'm free to talk, Michael. Sorry, I was waiting a queue at the bank there, the whole morning, didn't want to miss my slot. Everybody was waiting at it.
No problem. Do you have 10 minutes for the chat with me?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, Michael, definitely.
Okay, so can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear,
right? Just to let you know, Alex, all of our calls are recorded for training and monitoring. It's my role, Alex, not so much to drag you over the coals of, you know, your time and care. You've already done that with our customer care team. But my role is more to understand you, get to know you a bit better, and try and understand, you know, how your time and care and the trauma that you take has had an effect on you as an adult. Of that, you know, like an evidence, like you've been diagnosed with anxiety, depression, PTSD, all stuff like, you know, any sort of alcohol or substance issues. I'll write to the likes of, you know, GPs, NHS trusts, any sort of rehabilitation charities or clinics. And what I'll try and do, Alex, is build a picture, an accurate picture, if you like, of not only Alex being in care, but also, you know, kind of because of care, Mr. McPhee.
It's hard to talk about, Michael, that's why it happens. You don't talk about it when you're young, under 16, because you end up, all these people that you hang about, all your good parents, you try to kid on your parents for the same, or their home's the same. And then you go to life and you get busy in life, growing up, having a mortgage, getting a house, and everything else, you know what I mean? And then when you get later years in life, you take, you think about it again, you go, wow,
there's a massive definitive line between discipline and abuse, isn't there, buddy? You know. People like yourself, the survivors of the care system, what you guys are being through is frightening. Really.
Well, that's brutal. You know, I mean, the three of us, and we all got it bad. You know, I mean, when you think about it now, I never ever thought about it until recently. It's all been in the back burner. And now you're starting to think of it, going, God, that really did happen to me, that happened to me, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. I did suffer about a PTSD. And I had an accident on a bike, and they thought it was an accident on a bike, but if the truth be told, I used that as an excuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm a kind of person that's got a big false front, does that make sense?
Yeah, we all have to.
This massive false front, and anybody, hiya, how you doing, and a big happy face, nah, but deep down when you're in the house, I mean, I've never been able to hold a relationship because of all this, you know, I've no kids because of all this, and I think that, I'm 100% sure that's the reason,
why. You have a childhood built on, you know, mistrust and abandonment, you know, it has a massive effect on us as adults.
The biggest thing that we should never been put into, we were putting back into junk care of a drunken mother and an alcoholic boyfriend, and we just get our hand been to the neighbours feeding us, and just how we survived that, I don't know. People keep saying to me, and know me deep down, saying how you managed to survive that, and how you managed to be where you are.
Yeah.
I think I went the opposite. I've turned to bike racing and triathlon, and I put everything into that. But that's a big front, if you know what I mean. The people you're dealing with have all been through universities, and they've all got mum and dad, and brothers and sisters and that, and you just put a big front up there. But deep down, when you get to know a woman and a female, and you're trying to have a relationship, they want to marry you and everything, you can't do it. Especially alcohol. See, alcohol. I don't touch alcohol at all, and if I'm in a boozer and I'm drinking a coffee or a tea, I've got to leave it, see, especially drunken women.
Because your mum.
Aye, and then even, see, abusive women are here shouting at kids and all that, we get shouted, we get slapped, we get our trousers pinned in, told to go and help the gardener, and he was trying to play, he was trying to get his hands doing their shorts. I mean, if you went back and told a matron that, you'd get hammered. Don't you ever talk about my man doing that, because he's a respectable person and you're just a wee boy and shouldn't be, he should be seen but not heard. That was all that, you know what I mean?
Absolutely disgusting. So, have you been diagnosed with the PTSD? Have you had any sort of diagnosis for any other mental health issues, like depression or anxiety?
No, I don't, but I know I suffer depression and that myself.
Yeah.
I know I do it.
Okay.
I hide it. As I said, you tend not to try. You make yourself busy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
You make yourself busy and try and not forget about it, but it moves away.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest days I get depressed is Sunday, because everybody's with their families. See, Sundays are Christmas. They're my hardest times.
Did you end up having kids, Alex?
Sorry?
Did you have kids yourself? Did you have children yourself?
No. I've never had kids.
Okay.
No.
Well, so that day would be the loneliest day for you then, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What about your brothers?
He's got two kids, and Andrew, well, Andrew's in a care facility now, and basically his two girls robbed him, so he went through, had these two girls to an ex-wife, and basically they came on board when he went into the care home and robbed everything off him, so he's been hit twice, Andrew. You know what I mean? So we're taking kind of care of Andrew as well, because we're quite close. People can't understand how close the three of us are, but if you see we went through together in the home, and he got the worst of it, the woman ever had been here, she was bad to us all, but she really battered him. Really battered him. Like, he's crying. And that thing was all being a baby. He was youngest, man. He was a baby. He was only four, and he cried a lot. And that one that got me was John, you used to dress John in girls' clothes.
Yeah.
You used to dress him in girls' clothes. I've got a picture of that. I'm not going to dig the picture out. I was telling Billy I'm going to dig the pictures out. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know what it was all about. You know what I mean? They never told us. You saying, right, you can dress in girls' clothes today. And I didn't know. There might have been other people, but at the time I was in there, I didn't know anybody else getting dressed in girls' clothes. And you're only, I'm maybe six, John's maybe seven. You're a young kid and you just want out to play. You know what I mean? Of course. You just go with the flow. Listen, where we came from my mother nearly getting murdered with a drunken boyfriend, and she was drunk. So we came through something like that. A home seemed like luxury to us.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. But it wasn't. That makes sense to me. We didn't know any better. It made you work all the time and everything. We just didn't know any better. We were in a safe, well, we thought we were in a safe place. You know what I mean? But we weren't. We weren't in a safe place.
Was it safer than being at home to take the care?
Well, there was no drunk. The only difference is there was no drunks and no fighting. Well, there was fighting in the home with the kids, but no adult fighting.
Yeah, of course. It's horrendous, actually. That was a horrendous childhood, that actually.
And back in the day, the police, they only come to the door. It was a domestic. They called it domestic. The two of them just smashed up the bitch. Houses smashed up. There's three kids there, and they just call it domestic back in the day. So you sit down and you talk and think about it, and you work all this out. Because we never talked about it, me and John, until recently. We never spoke about this until recently. Never. It was always hidden. And I remember a guy called the Last Highlander. He wrote a book about it, and I said, I'm going to write a book. And it was John said, well, why don't we just talk about it? You know what I mean? John's about the same as me, but John works away offshore, so he's got 3 weeks of pals, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
he's got a wee one bedroom. There's John again. John's divorced now, you know what I mean, because he can't hold his marriage either. He can't hold a relationship then, because of the way you've been brought up with women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What a role model you had.
Aye, just women. And I see it all the time. I talk to women and I've dated women and everything else, but it gets to a certain stage, I've got to go, wow, I've had enough, I don't want any more of this. See, especially if a woman shouts, you know, you might have a heated relationship with your partner or a friend or something. See, if a woman shouts at me, I've got to walk away. I have got to walk away. I've been left with that. That's gas.
Yeah,
so
definitely. Obviously, you've been, you know, scared away from the air, which is amazing. Did you ever have any issues with any sort of substances or anything, Alex?
No, I didn't. No, I must admit, I've managed to keep away from that. Young, my brother Andy did, but me, no. I've managed to keep. Okay. I think John dabbled smoking quite a lot to keep his cell away from
it. Yeah. Okay. I've got a... My final question, Miss McPhee, which is the toughest question, if you like. So again, I am extremely sorry for having to ask you this one.
It's quite easy talking to you because I don't know you. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, the question I've got to ask though, Alex, is have you ever tried to take your own life?
No, but I've thought about it.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I have thought about it.
Yeah, no. It'd be stranger to me if it happens. The reason why I feel is, you know, 90% of those suicide attempts end up in the hospitalisation, so I write to the hospitals and I gather all the information from the client.
I've built this big kind of sport thing with myself, and it's a back out, if you know what I mean. I've made myself get involved in sport a lot and round about a lot of people, so I've kept myself busy.
I think that's probably the best thing you could have done, isn't it? Let's be honest. A lot of my clients, you know, are hiding in, you know, drugs or alcohol or.
It doesn't stop the nightmares. I still get the nightmares, don't get me wrong. I was living in a flat for years and see if I heard neighbours arguing.
Yeah.
I was up one night in the nightmare. Kids crying, I was the same, and I had the kids getting battered in the home. Because we split in a dormitory of 20-odd kids, and kids just get battered, including myself, all the time.
Yeah, I guess that. Can I take your GP details, please, Alex? So I can write to GP and talk about you, you know, if you can.
Well, you know, I've spoken to my GP about this, right? I'm sorry for interrupting you there.
No, but
I've spoken to him about it, and I said, can I see the records? Because 1978, and there's no records for me or John and Andy for 1971 backwards.
Okay.
And I was like, so where are they? He says, well, we've not got them.
I mean, we only, obviously, I'm only looking at your PTSD, which is obviously be post-71. I've got you here at Clark Steakhouse, at Clark House, 42 Melbourne Road, from 1960.
Melbourne Road, 42 Melbourne Road.
Yeah. Doctor
S. Wilkie.
Dr. S. Wilkie.
Yes, sure, Wilkie.
There's
two Wilkies
in there.
Okay, and the practice details, please, Alex? It's Health Centre, Stewarton. High Street, Stewarton.
The Health Centre. High Street, Stewarton,
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll write to your GP, I'll request all your medical records. I'll also write to the social services and the educational authorities of your care setting. When I get that, Alex, do you want me to share that information with you?
100%, I'd like to.
Okay, give me a sec, let me just make a note for that. Okay, so what we'll do, Alex, is when I get back into the office, I'll share everything, I'll send copies of everything we've got or we get to you, And then me and you will go through those documents. We'll go through it with a fine-tooth comb, you and I, make sure that, you know, we have everything there. We'll go through your statements. This is obviously going to kick up a lot of memories, Alex, so, you know, this in one call.
No, I've started it now, so let's go forward with it.
Okay. I mean, this isn't going to be quick for me, Alex. It's probably going to take me anywhere up to 10 months to get this information back for you.
Aye, I see.
But we will go through it, you and I, with a fine-tooth comb. We'll make sure that we go through all of your statements, make sure you're happy with everything in your statements, that you have everything in there that you want to be in there. And we'll do what's called our final submission, once we then pin your medical records to the Scottish Redress. What we've done so far, Alex, is we've basically, you know, lodged a complaint with the Scottish Redress and told them we are going to claim on your behalf. We have got an application number for you, and we have been recognised as your law firm. But we have told them, Alex, we will be providing support and evidence. So they're waiting for that, basically. So the support and evidence...
See, the problem is my doctor. The doctor, I don't share... I've shared more information about me with you than I have with the doctor.
Yeah, that's okay.
And as long as you know that, I've done that.
No, that's
probably a lot of people are like that. A bunch of you with a doctor. Yeah.
A hell of a lot. More than you think.
It's taken me a long time. Be honest with you, besides yourself and Billy, it's taken me a long, long time to talk about this to anybody.
I appreciate that.
To anybody whatsoever. And the other thing is, Andrew will need to speak with him because Andrew's got serious brain damage now with his stroke he had.
Okay.
So,
Andrew, do you have power of attorney, Andrew?
Yeah. Me, John and I have got power of attorney, shared power of
attorney. Alright, well, we'll do that. I'll go back to Billy. But yeah, we can run through you for your brother, not a problem at all. So I'll get Billy. I'll message Billy after this, and I'll get Billy to run through that with you. So we'll do all of our final submission, Alex, with all of our support and evidence. We then wait what's called the panel date. It's not like a children's panel that you may be familiar with in the past. It's a behind-closed-door adjudication on our case, and then we'll be notified by writing an email on the outcome, which will obviously hopefully be a letter of recognition of what happened to you in the form of an apology as well. And also, hopefully, Alex, an offer of financial compensation for you.
The money, it's not about the money, I don't know, none's about the money now, it's about getting recognised that it's happened to you more than anything else.
Oh, that's the thing, right? I say this on pretty much every call, Alex, it's not about the money, money's never going to fix what happened to you, it's not going to give you your pass back. But what it might do is it might go some way is to, you know, make the Scottish Government take notice that we are
faster
than them with these cases.
The
average case value is $55,000, Alex, and the hope is that, you know, they take some notice and try and stop these claims coming down the line in the future by, you know, providing kids with good care. Not much to ask for, Mr. McPhee, is it? Let's be honest.
No, just call me Alex. I'll tell you,
I'll
be phoning John.
Yes, sir, I will be phoning John. He's ready for me to speak to him now.
I'll speak to John tonight and I'll tell him you phoned and that. So I'll just get John to phone Alex to tell him that you're ready to speak. All right?
Yeah. One second, Alex, just before we go, I just need to go back a step with you. Obviously due to the sensitive of nature of these cases and for our compliance, I just need to make sure that you are fully aware of our fees and what are offering.
Yeah, 20%.
I have to run through with you on this recorded call, John. Alex, sorry.
Listen, if you get compensation for me, it's well deserved what you're doing, guys. It's well deserved what you're putting it in the limelight.
That's very, very rewarding.
If you win your case, you deserve, because you're working hard with it, to win your case, you deserve to be paid. And you also, you've been on the big stage for me.
Thank you, sir. Again, I do appreciate that. I just have to run you through this, Alex, just on a recorded call. I think a couple of minutes. So just to let you know, Alex, that you can actually apply through the Scottish media yourself. You don't need the help of a law firm to do so. Obviously, that would entail, if you wish to, is gathering your own evidence and creating and submitting your own case. That's option one. Option two, Alex, is there are other law firms out there that will help you apply to the Scottish redress, and they don't or won't charge you any fees. Quite important, Alex, that we understand now. The reason why they don't the reason why they don't charge fees, Alex, is that they get paid direct from the Scottish Government as part of the Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they get paid £2,000 per client, whether that client wins, loses or draws that case. Now, as a fellow law firm, I can't legally discuss what those law firms would do for you, or more importantly,
no,
Alex.
I'm happy the way it's going.
I just need to make it clear, Alex, that we don't participate in that Government Legal Fee Scheme. We don't accept handouts from the Scottish Government, and we definitely don't want to be owing anything to the Scottish Government either.
No, you don't.
What we do, Alex, is we enter into a private fee agreement with yourself under a no-win, no-fee contract, in which, obviously, if you win, we win. If you lose, we lose together. Our fees are capped, Alex, at 16% plus VAT. That'll net you out to rather up 19.2% is the max you'll ever pay us. No matter how much time, effort or work goes into your case, that's the max you'll pay us. On the flip side, Alex, the no-fee side, because you've been through such trauma in your life because of your unstable beginnings with being in the care system, we will never put you under any sort of financial pressure if we are unsuccessful with your case. So what that means, Alex, is if we don't get you compensation, you won't pay us any fees, and we won't come looking for them either. Our insurance cover and our insurance policy will cover all our fees on my end. It's a genuine no-win, no-fee, Alex. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Okay. Do you understand those fee options?
Yeah,
and you're still happy for me to continue in your case?
100%. Definitely.
You signed a no-win, no-fee agreement with us, Alex, on the 17th of March. I don't know if you're aware, but I'll make you aware that you have what's called a 14-day cooling off period, which runs out on the 31st of March. Basically, 14-day cooling off period basically is a, you know, a change your mind period, if you like. If you're unaware of the cooling off period, Alex, from the 17th, I can restart that 14 days from today.
I'll bring you, Alex, you
have the right to waive the 14-day cooling off period, and we can get started on your case.
Happy to waive it.
Well, Alex, you've got my number now.
Save
my number. I'm going to be your case worker now from now till the end. If you need me for anything, Alex, give me a call. If you're struggling, you know, you just want to have a chat with somebody who understands your background, always pick up the phone and give me a ring. Leave me a message and I'll ring you back. It's quite important, because this is an internet voice telephone system. You'll need to leave me a message, and then I can read the message or listen to the message, and I can ring you straight back. Alternatively, Alex, I'll write to you within the next 2 weeks with all my contact details, and I'll keep in touch with you every 3 to 4 weeks, just to let you know how I'm getting on with your case.
That's excellent.
Okay, Alex. That's fine.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Do you have any questions for me?
No, you've answered every question. I was only asking. You've answered them all for me.
Thank you very much, Mr. McPhee. It was lovely speaking to you. Thank you very much for your time.
You too. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Bye. Speak to you soon, sir.
Bye. Bye.